take everything to God in prayer. Taking everything to God in prayer is a mark of true Christianity. It's a true expression of where your security lies. It's a true mark of dependent on God and trust in Him. So against other things, because the temptation for us is to have God as a means of blessings, as one of the means of blessings, or one of the sources of relief and security. But when He is the only, even if there are other things, there are things that He has ordained Himself or He has brought to us. Anselm, one of the church fathers, he was talking about the creation out of substance or creation out of nothing. And he said, for those who are claiming that even God has created the world out of something, even if it's out of something, it would be something He Himself has created. So he was like trying to destroy every argument that there is something that God has used. And so taking everything to God in prayers is an important aspect of our life as Christians. And if we continue doing something like that, we will, our trust in the Lord will increase more and more, and He will open up all the blessing for us. We have seen this, that was not the case for Hosea. Hosea, a king, a son of Ahab, who succeeded him in 2 Kings chapter 1. This man, verse 1 to 3, verse 1 and 2, he had a problem, this man. He was a wicked man himself. He didn't love the Lord with all of his heart. But he himself, also he found himself in troubles, isn't it? We see during his dead times, we read last week, that there was peace. This man, he had agreement with his enemies. And so there was peace, relative peace. So he didn't have a lot of trouble. Even the war he initiated himself, you see, so he didn't have to go to war. But now Moab rebels against Israel after the death of Ahab. You see, so to this king is a problem, isn't it? It's a problem. Now a king, he got a problem. Another problem he has fallen through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and injured himself, really a deadly injury. See, this man has troubles now. Now, he got these big problems, and now he wants to solve his problems, isn't it? But he didn't turn to the Lord in prayer. When we have here in the book of Kings is a history, isn't it? History of God's people. But it is a history with a theological themes, with theological themes. And there are many of them there, but we will come across each in a time. And this time, we will see one aspect. So let me just give you, for those who want to study these books, God's sovereignty and His exclusiveness and rejection of idolatry is one of the themes we see in this book. Another one, the covenant. I mean, another one, Jerusalem was the center of worship. So that is why people offering in high places was not acceptable, was associated with really evil one, the kingdom of Satan. Third one, the covenant as the basis of Israel's relationship to God and a standard for national life. And you see why God would object to someone who would not turn to Him in praise. Because they are God's people. He has covenant with them. And it's God who is committed to blessing them, to fight their wars, and to heal their wounds. You see, to bring every comfort, you see, and to bring every blessing that they needed, and to provide real, true fellowship for them. You see, He gave them the word of God. His Spirit is still working, you see, and He raised up prophets for them who were really leading them in the ways of God. But this man, Hosea, he lost sight of this. And deliberately and openly, So he sent messengers saying to them, go and consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to see if I will recover from this injury. Wow. And you see how much this is insulting to God, who is in covenant with these people, who is not really weak to save or unable to heal. He is God our healer. Even foreigners, you see, we will see that one of my favorite texts in the 2 Kings is chapter 5, the healing of Naaman of Assyrian. One of my favorite stories. Because in that, this little girl, this slave girl who was taken away, she acted as a missionary. A little girl who trusted in the God of Israel that he can heal. But this man cannot heal. This man cannot believe that his God can heal him. You see? It's so clear. It's so clear. Wow. See how God, how good God is. You see, last night I was with Andrew Martin and his family. And there were few people there. And they were unchristian, like unsaved, two couples. He helped their dad. He operated on them. And then he became connected with these people. They don't know about the Lord, you see, but they came into the company of Christian. And then later on, Andrew said to me, because he goes to Tasmania to operate, he's an ENT surgeon. And then he told me that he went to a Presbyterian church. And he said, the pastor there said publicly that if you need a job, you don't have to pray. You just go and get a job. Just this is in the Presbyterian church. That is in Tasmania. Watch out. Don't go to that place. Or if you don't want to do something like that, then you just go and do it. You don't have to pray. Just like that. And maybe he's acting like Haziah. He didn't need to pray. But all that he could think of going, sending messengers to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron. In the New Testament that Don read to us, this Baal-zebub is the prince of demons. You see, that is the god that is consulted. And you see how angry God was. So now that is how he was going to solve his problem. But you know God will not tolerate that. From verses 3, God has to move. And also you will realize that go, go, go. There is a lot of go there. Go and go. And 3, come down. I will explain them. Well, he said, go and consult Baal. But that was not the way to go. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, the Tishbite, go. You see, there is a going here. This is a second going. Go and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and ask them. Go. You see, God who sees, he sees everything. The all-seeing God. God who is watching over his own people. And you see, now he's correcting this man, stopping him from really acting deliberately and openly against God. And God sees everything, and he hears even our thoughts, you see. And so God, so then he said to Elijah, his servant, go, speaking, there is this dialogue, go and tell this man, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going off to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? There's no God. Am I not in the covenant with you? Am I weak to save? Why you didn't ask help from me? And I fear that the Lord always may say something like this to us. Is my hand too short to save? Am I unable to heal? Can I send revival? Can I send you revival yourself? Can I send you revival? Have you asked of revival? You see? Have you asked me off to open doors? You see? Have you asked me? Of course, there is God in Israel. And Elijah can tell us that there is God in Israel, isn't it? Because he's meeting him. He's speaking to him. Go. You see? And then, therefore, this is what the Lord says. You will not leave the bed. Because that was what he was saying. To see if I will recover from this injury. So he was just like trying to know whether he would recover from this. But he was judged already by God because of this action. It's not because God didn't want to heal him. His father humbled himself before God, isn't it, before? And you see how important it is to come to God. It doesn't matter how far you have gone, how low you have come down. So God is able, you see, to save and to forgive. So when the messengers, so what happens here? You will certainly die. So Elijah went. When the messengers returned to the king, because they had to go back, because this is what the Elijah said to them. You see? When the messengers returned to the king, he asked them, "Why have you come back?" "A man came to meet us," they replied. This is a man. A man, he will be described to us if we continue reading. So he said, "A man came to meet us," they replied. "And he said to us, 'Go back.'" This is the third go, isn't it? Already he said to them earlier, "Go back." Then, "Go back," he said, "go back to the king who sent you and tell him, 'This is what the Lord says.'" He repeated the same thing. "Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending men to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, the enemy of God? Therefore, you will not leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die." You will certainly. And this is the judgment that will come forth, because God never failed. The king asked them, what kind of man was it who came to meet you and told you this? What kind of man? You see, so I'd like to stop this. What kind of man, what kind of woman are you? You see, so the Lord wants us to be like Elijah. He wants us to be the kind of people who love their God and who can hear his voice, who can go for him. Those people who will not consult Baal-zebub, those who will bring their prayers to him. You see, and so what kind of man is this? And so from the description, you see, they replied, "He was a man with a garment." You see, they describe him. So the man, you see, there is emphasis here. This man was wearing a garment of hair and with a leather belt around his waist, a man called by God. These are gears for a prophet. See, like John the Baptist, isn't it? What are your garments? You see, Jesus says our garments are washed white in his precious blood. Are you washed in the blood? You see, are you washed? Yeah, you may be wearing a blue jacket or anything, but you are washed, you see, with the blood of Jesus if you have come to know him. That is the kind of human being you are. And where to go first of all is go to the throne of God to bring all your petitions and make them known before him. Taking everything to God in prayer is a mark of true Christianity, relying on him. What kind of man is this man? And then the king said, "That was Elijah the Tishbite." You see, he knew that this man, from his lifestyle. So in our modern times, we describe people tall and who wears this always and things like that. You see, but this man, he does this. Then this is foolishness from this man, isn't it? He wanted to fight God. He knew that is Elijah, and he knows who Elijah represents, isn't it? A prophet of God. But this is Satan, you know? Satan is not intelligent, friends. He's not intelligent, you see? Because he cannot win this battle, isn't it? He cannot win this battle. And why people in our modern days, they think that they can consult evil powers, and still they have a good life. The moment you put your hand in covenant with the kingdom of Satan, you are gone. You are gone, completely gone. You are gone. That is why even to stay in areas where we don't bring everything to God in prayers as a place of trust and confidence, we can drift and we can go down too. And then because this foolishness of this man, and then he is sent to Elijah, a captain with his company of 50 people. And then what, this is what they say to Elijah. The captain said, went there, and then the captain went up to Elijah, who was sitting on the top of a hill, and said to him, "Man of God," the king says, "come down." You see, go and come down. So this is what he's saying to the man of God, who will not move left and right apart at the command of his God. You see? So we go, we come, just as he tells us. And so now this man, they wanted, this man, the king wanted this man to come down, because he has sold his soul, and now he wants to harm the man of God. But he can never prevail. And so what happened? Elijah said to the captain, "If I'm a man of God, may fire come down from heaven." You see, Elijah come down. But now, not Elijah is going to come down. Fire is going to come down from heaven. It's just like asking God to come down, isn't it? And let us come and fight. "Well, now I show you the signs that you cannot even fight me. I will just consume you." See? And they were consumed. Another group, another captain. This is what they said. They came and they said, "Man of God, come down." This is what the king says. Even the king says this. The word of God is done really carefully. First time the king said, "You say come down." But now he's trying to put emphasis on his authority, saying, "Come down at once." You see? "Come down at once." And then Elijah said, "If I'm a man of God," verse 12, "if I'm a man of God," Elijah replied, "may fire come down and consume you and your men." And really, fire came down and consumed the man. So the king sent a third captain again. And then this captain, he was different. Because you can never have contest with God and win. You can only ask for his mercy. Isn't it? You see, you can only ask for his mercy. And this is what this man did. When this captain came with his 50 men, he himself, the third captain, went up and fell on his knees. He fell on his knees, verse 13, before Elijah. "Man of God, man of God." You see, there is praise here, isn't it? And this is what really Ahaziah should have done in the first place, isn't it? That is what he should have done. But this man, he fell down, he recognized that God can spare his life, because he realized that. He realizes that they are in trouble. They are in a contest with God. Just to begin to walk in that path already, they have set up themselves for destruction. And so he begged, "Please have respect for my life, save my life and the lives of these 50 men. And then now, as I said, Elijah had to come down at the command of God. God said to him, "Look, these people, they cannot harm you. Just go down." And then he had this confrontation. The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, "Go down with him. Do not be afraid of him." So Elijah got up and went down with him to the king. He told the king the verdict. You see? And then he repeated the message. And so here, because Hazael had no, because Hazael, he was so foolish, but he didn't learn the lessons. So Elijah came down, and this is, he told him, "This is what the Lord says. Is it because there is no God in Israel for you to consult that you have sent messengers to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron?" This has been repeated again and again, because it's something so detestable to the heart of God. "You have done something terrible." See the emphasis that is, that because there is no God, God in the covenant with you, and you go and you consult the prince of demons. No, this is bad. "You will certainly die." So he died according to the word of Elijah. You see, Jesus said this, and I want to finish with that. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God has come upon you, because I'm delivering people." You see, with the power of God, not through the power of Baal-zebub, because that was what people were accusing him of, that he was casting demons with the power of the prince of demons. And Jesus said, no, not like that. But Jesus said that the kingdom of darkness already will be destroyed. But you see, if a kingdom is divided among itself, it will cannot stand. So I'm not part of that to destroy it. But Jesus said this. As he was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." Because he spoke the word of God. Yeah, he told them that I come from God. And he told them when a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are safe. He was telling them the principle of the kingdom of God. And so when this woman said and praised him, he replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." You see, so people who are in the covenant with God, they have to obey that. They bring everything to God in prayer. And so we hear the word of God and we obey it. That is the way of blessings, taking everything to God in prayer. May the Lord grant us grace to be a people who will be mindful of who we are and to bring everything to God in prayer, because he answers prayers. And he has given us his word to guide us, to guide our steps, you see, to him. And that is the call upon our lives. I pray that tonight this will be our practice. And to everything in the house, at workplace, on the streets, in the church, troubles that look like very big, you see, God can do this. Amen? Yeah, let us just press on as God sees. For remember, taking everything to God in prayer is a mark of true Christianity.